Welcome to the Fear Me Out podcast. Today, Justine Hamilton and I are recording and getting ready to put out the 100th episode of the Fear Me Out podcast. I am incredibly excited and hard for me to imagine that I got to 100, but we're here. And so we thought we would talk about doing 100 episodes of a podcast and what it's been like and what we'd like to have happen moving forward and so on and so forth. So, Justine, thanks for coming in and sharing this important moment with
me. Yeah, I can't believe it.
There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. When we're afraid, we pull back from life. When we're in love, we open up to all that life has to offer with passion, excitement, and acceptance.
Coming to you from our studio in Santa Barbara, California, this is the Fear Me Out podcast. We're not your typical self-help program. Our show takes a deep dive into those psychological issues that affect us on a daily basis. We hope to shift your perspective and have you experiencing emotions differently. Now, Dr. Dana Saperstein.
So 100 episodes.
Yeah, what is that, 2 years?
Yeah.
About 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
You know what I remember you told me why you started probably back around then. You told me why you started the podcast, which I think that you should tell our audience because I don't know if you've ever said that.
Talked about why I decided
why you started
to do it.
Yeah, not just the book, but really like the reason.
Well, there were a couple of reasons. One, I woke up one morning with a really strong feeling that it was time to do a podcast just out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, I didn't even know how to do a podcast.
Right.
But it just sounded like such a good idea. And
were you even listening to them at that point?
Well, I always love, I mean, there's a few that I love. I love Conan O'Brien's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Mark Maron's podcast and a few others. You know, I usually listen to comedy because my life is fairly serious.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking for entertainment, it's not serious most of the time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, yeah. And then, you know, I had to quit surfing about 6 years or so ago. And I have felt a huge vacuum emptiness in my heart ever since I had to give that up because it was besides my family and friends and, you know, what I do. It was my source of passion and inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it would be this hard to give up. And I still crave it every day. But unfortunately, my body is not even remotely capable anymore. I mean, now my extreme sport is stepping off a curb and not getting hurt. So
no board required.
Yeah, no surfboards and, you know, any of that sort of stuff. So, and I also have been asked a million times over the last number of years to write a book or do something to share my approach to therapy because apparently it's unusual according to the people that have come to see me. And so I thought, why don't I do a podcast? And the podcast was going to be about fear and other things that have to do with trauma. And I'll be honest, I was too afraid to do the podcast by myself.
Had your own little fear, huh?
I didn't. It wasn't a little fear. It was a gigantic fear because I have lived in my own little bubble most of my life professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't associate much with any of my colleagues. I'm not a member of any sort of anything having to do with being a therapist. I only have a few colleagues that I respect and refer back and forth with. But, you know, the rest of the people that are in my profession, I just have a hard time relating to a lot of them. You know, when I go to continuing education courses, I always think, I think I should become a plumber because I can't really relate very well to what's going on in this room because I really don't like the psychobabble and all
that. Yeah, that's so false, not you.
Yeah, it's false sense of importance.
You don't even like self-help books, really.
Well, that's true. There's a few, but mostly I don't because I don't like the idea of pathologizing people.
Right.
I think it's way better to look at things from the perspective that your symptoms are trying to communicate something.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out how to do a podcast. And so that's when I asked my friend Kim, who Kim Foskey and I started the podcast together. When I first approached him, he said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely said, I will not do this under any circumstances. I said, come on, why? We're having fun you know, trying to write a book together.
Right.
Why don't you do this? We'll have a great time. So it took me a little bit of time to persuade him. But I couldn't do it by myself because I was just too afraid to put myself out there.
Right.
So eventually Kim decided to do it, and we had tons of fun. I think we did 60 some odd episodes together.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got to a place where he was done.
Yeah.
And that was really difficult because to me, once I started doing it, I realized how much fun it was.
Right.
And I am shocked that actually.
You still love it.
Yeah. How much fun I've been having. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, for being a private person, I've exposed an awful lot about who I am and what I believe.
That's true.
And the feedback so far is that people have enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked previously about a woman that contacted us almost a year ago that said the podcast actually saved her life, that she found it at a particular moment and it just changed everything for her. And I just thought, well, if that happens for one person, then I know I'm on the right track here.
Yeah.
And it just, I figured it's kind of an opportunity to help as many people as I can before one day I fall out of my chair and
that's the end of me. That's what I love about it, is because your time is limited and because your practice is limited and what you can do physically, that, you know, you really kind of started this to help as many people as possible. And that's not why most people go into podcasting.
And why do most people go into podcasting?
They're trying to be famous. They're trying to just yammer on about something that they believe in or just fill the air. I mean, everyone and their mother has a podcast. But the reason I came on the podcast with you is because your intentions were true and they were good. And it was really about helping as many people as you can. And that's not why most people start podcasts. So I think that's great.
Well, you're very kind. I never really thought about it from that perspective because...
Why do you think I'm here? It's not your good looks, Dana.
Well, I know it's not about that. I know. I mean, it always seemed to me like you enjoy yourself and that it's really fun.
I do, but I do enjoy myself. But I would enjoy myself. It's especially because you're doing it for the right reason, and that's why I'm here first and foremost. And then enjoying myself, yes, it's great. I love doing it. I love talking about the topics that we go over. I think that we've had the most amazing guests on here that have just bared their soul and have really sort of inspired me as well as to vulnerability and being open. And I can't say enough great things about the kind of guests that we've had on and the topics that we've talked about. But it really goes back to, it started with a good reason. And that's why I think that it will continue on. You're not doing it because you want to be famous. That's the last thing you want.
No, I'd prefer to be invisible, actually, given the opportunity. Fame and fortune, well, fortune maybe. Fame, not so much. No, I'm not somebody that enjoys being on the center of attention. That's not my idea of a good time.
Yeah.
So, but I will say, I've met some of the nicest people. It's really been remarkable, actually, when I look back at all the different people that were willing to come in and talk about things on such a deep level.
How does it look different than what you first envisioned?
You know, when I first envisioned it, I had absolutely no idea what to expect. I wasn't sure if we would find enough people that were interested. I wasn't sure if people would be honest and willing to be super vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know. And I've been incredibly impressed at the frankness that so many people have come into this room and been willing to share, you know, their story about their life. And and also the professional people that have come in to talk about who they are and how they became professionals, because I also want people that might be looking for help to know what to look for.
Right.
So that's been fun also. Something that I don't think I've ever talked about on my podcast is that I have probably been on at least 10 or more of other people's podcasts as a way of trying to promote my podcast.
Right.
So that's been really, really fun, is being on other people's podcasts.
Mm.
I had no idea how much I would enjoy that. And I met some of the most interesting, fun people because if you go on Facebook, which is something I never did before I started my podcast. I knew what it was, but I never saw it. There's all kinds of groups of people that are looking for people to be on their podcast or looking to be on somebody else's podcast. And I wish more than anything that the people that I've met lived in Santa Barbara.
Right.
Because I've met some of the absolute amazingly, some of the nicest people.
That's so great.
And we share a philosophy, which is right. something that's unusual as far as I'm concerned, because I'm kind of a weirdo and my philosophy is unusual. So I've met my weird brothers and sisters in other parts of the world.
Aww.
Which has been really fun.
Nice and, to get out of the little bubble, huh?
What's that?
Nice to get out of your little bubble sometimes,
it is.
Huh?
I've been enjoying expanding my bubble a bit. And I'm going to continue to, I'm going to be on somebody else's podcast in a couple of days. And I'm just continuing to reach out because I figure the best way to promote my philosophy and my podcast is on other people's platforms.
Right.
And it's been super fun.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody that's listened to the Free Me Out podcast. Your willingness to listen and support me and what I'm doing and us and what we're doing is really, really appreciated. And I want to make sure I say that with my whole heart because it just feels really good.
Well, I also feel like you've given 100 free therapy sessions.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because one of my clients who has a great sense of humor after about 20 episodes said to me, I want my money back. I said, what are you talking about? He said, now you're giving all this stuff away for free. I had to pay you for all of this. Now I listen to the podcast and everybody gets to for free what I had to pay for.
Right.
I said, well, I'm really sorry. There's no money back. there's no take back. So,
no.
So it has been an incredible source of pleasure and wonder.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe what people have been willing to come in here and talk about, and sometimes for the first time. And, you know, they know it's going out over the airwaves and forever, and they've just opened their hearts. And, you know, I've heard you say a couple things to people that have questioned their mental state, or if they were, you know, I remember someone was saying, well, you know, am I bipolar? And then you had someone else ask you something else, if they were schizophrenic or something. And, you know, you've been doing this for a long time, you know what that looks like. And I think both of those people, you said, I've worked with a lot of bipolar people in my practice. You don't have a bipolar bone in your body. And I just sat here and watched the relief come across these people's faces where finally they could let that go and have a professional maybe believe in them or, you know, not try to label them and really sort of help them. And I think that that's been a nice little outcome too that probably no one expected.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate that.
I'm not being kind. I'm just being the witness of what happens in this little studio here.
Okay.
But thank you.
I know you figured out a long time ago that compliments are not easy to accept.
Right.
For me.
I know. I'll just keep giving them to you.
Yeah. Till what's it called? Systematic desensitization, right?
Yes.
Instead of being afraid of snakes, I'm afraid of compliments.
Well, I'm afraid of snakes, but yeah. That's a different podcast.
So we're trying to diffuse my reaction to compliments.
I'm actually the therapist here.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you have any like favorite moments or favorite guests? I know it's like picking your favorite child.
Well, I'm a little bit biased because interviewing my wife about her work in hospice was such an honor for me.
Yes.
Because, you know, I talk a lot about how much I adore her and respect her. And for her to have a platform to be able to share how she became a hospice nurse and what hospice meant to her and how important it is for her to be involved in the dying process for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I witnessed her helping my sister die from cancer, and I was like watching an angel in action. And so I always knew she was, you know, something special in that regard.
Right.
And just having her talk about that was pretty cool for me.
Yeah, I bet.
But there's been lots of other episodes that were really fun and interesting.
I know.
I don't really have like favorites because usually each one is my favorite right after I do it.
Right.
I just think, wow, that was so cool. I really enjoyed that.
Yes.
So I just try to approach what I'm doing with a ton of enthusiasm and appreciation for the people that have come here.
Yeah.
I guess one of the requests that I would like to make in this episode of the podcast is that I don't get very much feedback from the people that listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. The ratings are really high, which is really very sweet, and people tell me they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I would love to know what I could do, especially to make improve things.
Right.
Because I'm always looking, you know, to be as effective in what I do as I can.
Yeah.
So anybody that can provide me feedback about how to do a better job, I really appreciate. And also, I'm so open to people's ideas about what they would like me to talk about and yes. topics in the world that are important. And I don't know what those things are.
Right.
I mean, I do ask friends and family and, you know, people, what do you think I should, you know, what other ideas should I, you know, kind of concentrate on with people?
Yeah.
Some of the upcoming ideas, podcasts, I'm right now, because of what's happening in the Middle East, I'm doing a series on anti-Semitism and what it's like to be Jewish in the world right now. Mm-hmm.
It's an important topic.
It's important to me, especially because I, despite the fact that I'm not a religious Jew, I am a cultural one, whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in the world is very frightening to me. I don't like it. And it brings out the worst in me, actually, because a few people have said to me, well, you're going to have to find somebody on the Palestinian side to come on your podcast. And my response is, I'm not fucking doing that. I am not that generous and I'm not that kind because I feel like I'm personally threatened mm-hmm. in a certain way.
Yeah.
So I think that when people are really scared, which is part of why I do the podcast, that sometimes we suspend our conscience when we are in a fight or flight place. Right. And I feel that way sometimes about what's happening. Am I safe? Do I need to run?
Let me ask you this. Before this all broke out, would you have done both sides?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
I would have, because I do not believe that that Israel is innocent in the way that they have treated the Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge but, and that is that the Palestinian people freely elected Hamas to be their government representatives. And I can't abide by the philosophy of Hamas and what they do both to their own people and anybody that they can get their hands on that they consider to be their enemy.
Right.
So it doesn't bring out a lot of sympathy in me, even though I hate the idea that, you know, women and children obviously are being killed for no reason at all. Right. But it's actually not no reason because they support their government.
Yeah.
And their government happens to be terrorists. And, you know, they could easily tell Israel where the hostages are and bring this to a close much more quickly, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, I know I'm a biased person in that regard. I'm also going to start a series on how to thrive as a highly sensitive person.
A series.
Uh-huh. I want to do at least 3 or 4 episodes interviewing people that are sort of in the 95th percentile for sensitivity and what it takes for them to thrive in the world. Because for whatever reason, my practice is filled with really highly sensitive people.
Hmm.
I think they find their way to me because I am one.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also understand the pain and the feelings of sort of sometimes even self-loathing that comes out of being a sensitive person and being shamed for
being so sensitive
for who you are.
Yeah.
And I've worked with so many people that have brothers and sisters they've never met from different families because they're all of the same level of sensitivity and they think they're sort of the only one in the world.
Wow.
So I'm going to be working on that in the next little while. I've thought about doing a series on people that have been adopted and what's been like for them to, you know, whether that affects them in their lives in any way.
Can I ask you a question about the highly sensitive people?
Oh, sure.
Do you think those people, and I know it's a little off topic, but I'm curious, do you think that those people recognize that they are right away? Or how does someone know if they're a highly sensitive person?
Well, I usually within about like 10 seconds when I meet somebody, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I begin very quickly to let them know that part of why they're suffering is because there is a fundamental difference between who they are and most of the people around them. And most people know that, but they've always thought that that difference was pathological or some sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what I try to help people understand is that a lot of the trauma that they've suffered is born out of genetic sensitivity.
Am I one?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding?
I am?
Oh, sure. You can't tell?
I've had people tell me that I'm an empath.
Well, the same thing.
Yeah, but then some, I guess, but well, maybe I'll come on your podcast and I can be one of them. Because I don't.
You may not be sensitive in a physical sense in terms of, you know, because it affects people differently.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's so easy for you to sort of eat food normally and all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't affect you that way.
Are you calling me fat?
What's that?
Are you calling me fat?
No. No, I'm just saying that you drink, you know, you drink coffee and you're,
yes,
you know,
yes,
you live a sort of normal life.
Yes.
I mean, if you saw me in action, you would think, oh my God, this guy's not just weird emotionally. He's really weird physically. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. I can't even get past the smell.
Wow.
It turns my stomach so badly. And I'm what's called a super taster.
Yeah.
Which means I have an extra taste bud on my tongue that makes things like zucchini and taste bitter, like really bitter. And it makes cilantro taste like soap. So when I eat cilantro, I feel like I have a bar of soap in my mouth.
It's, you know, there's a whole movement around cilantro, right?
Yeah.
And so do you think most of those people are highly sensitive people?
Or at least super tasters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so funny.
So lactose intolerant. I mean, my life is so restricted in so many ways.
So yours is very physical also.
Oh, in an exquisite way. Like, when I used to be able to hear like a normal person, I would go out to a restaurant with my family and we would sit at a table and they'd all look at me like, okay, do we get to stay here? We're going to have to move our table. Because I would sit down and I'd start hearing the fan in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
And I would think to myself, oh, that noise is so horrible.
Wow.
And I would say to my family, can you hear that? And they would say, what are you talking about? I got to move. I can't be near that.
Wow.
That noise. And being in crowds and being in you know, intense environments, can't handle it. If you want to see me have a panic attack, take me to Los Angeles or any big city.
Wow.
I just completely feel a sense of panic, Dana, the whole time.
Wow.
I cannot handle the stimulation. It's frightening to me, actually.
Wow.
I am terrified to go to New York because I just know looking around and hearing the noise and the energy of the people would just take me down. I can't handle it at all.
Okay, so yours is very physical because I don't have that.
No, but all you have to do is watch something emotional and you can barely control yourself.
Well, isn't that what you think? Yeah, but isn't that most people?
No, not at all. That's why I think you sort of take it for granted. Plus, I think you're also very intuitive when it comes to reading people.
Yes.
And I think most of your friends come to you for help and advice and all that. And those are signs of heightened sensitivity.
Okay.
Again, I think that's an important topic because my life is surrounded with people that have suffered enormously as a result of their sensitivity.
I think so too. And it was, you know, that you're always told, don't be so sensitive. And so these people are probably just trying to bury it anyway.
Uh-huh. Both men and women.
Yeah.
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 So I'm always looking for topics, always looking for guests. Because I don't see any reason to stop doing this because it's fun and interesting. And
yeah. And we've kind of we've had a couple different formats where we've had people come in and talk to them about, you know, either what they're doing or their trauma or what they can offer or, you know, stuff that they've had happen to them. And then we've also just, you and I have sat here and we've talked about emotions and, you know, life things. And is that sort of how you see this going in the future? Is a combination of both?
Yeah, because I think that I know it would be really important for me to do a series on depression and all the different types of depression and how they can be addressed.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Anxiety is another one I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm open to ideas because I think that, you know, there's no shortage of topics that are important for people to take a look at.
Do you have a dream topic or a dream guest or a story that you really want told?
Not necessarily in particular. I mean, there are a few podcasts I would like to be on, but I can't seem to get a response from the people.
Conan's not calling you?
Yeah, they're not calling me back, unfortunately. because I think that I would be a really good guest on these podcasts. Because when I listen to some of the people that they interview, I think to myself, you know, these people are only scratching the surface. They're not going deep enough.
Interesting.
And if these people really understood what underlies the things that they're talking about, it would be much, much more effective. Because I think that we spend so much time skimming the surface of most issues.
Right.
And don't really get down to where they come from and what it's all about.
And it's usually based in fear. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little bit unfortunate because I'm not a big shot in the world of entertainment or podcasts or whatever. People don't have they don't take me very seriously when they're kind of famous and have a podcast that's really big and important. So I'd like to have some of those people on my podcast too, but I can't get them to respond in that way either.
Got it.
So I'm just, you know, when you're doing something like this, you're either one of the few really, really popular, famous people in the world who are really good at promotion and all that, which
it's not even one of the few, it's one of the hundreds.
Yeah. Or you're the rest of the people who are just, you know, doing the best they can to get the attention to have their podcast be listened to. Because there are an awful lot of them.
There are a lot. Tons. Mean, it's crazy.
So I really am appealing to people to go to my website, which is freemeoutpodcast.com, or you can get to it, danasaperstein.com, and that has all the different ways to reach me, all the different episodes of the podcast are listed there, and links to how to get to them. And so I'm dying for some feedback, and both in what people think of the podcast and also with what they would like to see moving forward, because it's a passion for me.
Yeah. No, it's interesting and it's fun and I think it's really helpful. And, you know, we sometimes you and I talk and we'll say, oh gosh, you know, we've kind of talked about that topic before, or that emotion or that whatever. And it's really interesting in my own life. You and I did one a few weeks ago on fear, right? And then I had a situation in my personal life where I needed some help and I was reacting in not a strange way. I wasn't reacting the way that I probably should have. And I didn't really understand why. And I went back and I listened to that podcast and it made so much sense that the way I was acting was all based on fear, where, you know, my thought was like, well, I was just mad and this person did this and that person did that. And, you know, it was more that I was just mad and that's why I was acting the way I was. And of course I'm going to be mad. They were, you know, they're idiots. And I listened to the podcast Unfair and it really helped me sort of peel the layers back of, you know, I was fearful or sorry, I was angry because I was fearful. And it's so I think that we could talk about this again and again and again. And I think it just takes a long time for it to really click with people. I'm pretty open and evolved and like all of this stuff. And for me, I talk about this stuff all the time and I still didn't get it. And I feel like you really have to, just emphasize a message over and over again. And then on top of that, people really taking an honest look at themselves. And that's the hardest part.
Yes.
Of like, okay, wait, that does come from that. And it doesn't even, you don't even know that it makes sense in that moment until you, there's a pattern and you see this pattern that's been happening or that you've been doing. And then you can kind of figure out where this pattern came from. And then it makes sense. And then you can understand it and hopefully, you know, work on it. But man, this stuff is sticky. It is not changing overnight. And I really feel like we could do a podcast every other week talking on fear and maybe someone would get it. Like I used to work in advertising and we would say, you know, you need to run your ad 15 times because the first 14 times people aren't even going to see it. And that's how I feel about some of the topics that we talk about where you listen and you're like, okay, yeah. And then something will happen to you. And then if you go back and you listen to another podcast or, you know, you look up the podcast of whatever we were talking about, if it's applicable, it makes sense. But it's so hard to catch ourselves in the moment and really peel back why we're behaving the way that we are. But again, it's all based on fear. But you got to remember that, like, in the moment, and until you sort of understand the bigger picture of all of that.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And I mean, it's been years, and I'm just now starting to understand it. And I still don't know what I'm still pretty clueless about it. I'm still, you know, getting angry and then thinking that I'm angry because that person is doing something to me. And it's like, no, I'm angry because, you know, I have this sadness inside of me from when I didn't think people were listening to me when I was younger. And, you know, that's where it's coming from. I'm not angry that they didn't, what was I even angry about? I don't remember. I'm not angry because they didn't, shut the door or take the dog out or whatever it was. I'm angry because I feel like no one's listening, and, or I'm upset because I feel like no one's listening to me. And that's all based on fear that, again, no one is listening to me in my life. And it takes a long time to really understand that. And like I said, these podcasts, people can play over and over again, because if you're just driving in your car and you're listening, you're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Yep. That makes sense. I get it. But until it's really in your life and you can connect the dots, that's when it's going to be really impactful.
Well, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
So do you feel like it takes a lot of courage
to speak about it?
Yeah, and to let yourself take responsibility for yourself.
Oh, God, yes, because I am perfect, Dana.
I forgot. I forgot who I was talking to.
I think it depends on how much sort of interest and involvement you've had over your life of looking internally or therapy or, you know, try to understanding where the triggers are coming from. And in my generation, you didn't do that. And in my household, you didn't talk about anything. And so I wasn't predisposed to sort of look at this stuff until I got a little bit older. My kids, and I think it's a generational thing. And I think it's the way I'm a little bit more in tune with everything. We talk about this stuff, and, you know, they are very open about their feelings and how they, you know, and how they feel and what they need. And so I think that generation, or, you know, just people that are kind of dealing in that world, it's a little bit easier. But someone like my generation, where I grew up, you know, not at all. And I see it in my friends, like, you know, it really, there are so many families, and it's based on where you live, what your religious beliefs are, you know, a multiple of things. But I see in my friends who's comfortable talking about something and who's not. And the ones that aren't, you know, they're they're dealing with it in other ways. There might be a little drinking, there might be a little shopping, there might be a little bitching at their spouse. They're dealing with it in a different way than someone who is trying to evolve themselves and really understand what's making them tick, and just being, you know what, this is not that person's fault. Like, this is my deal and my issue. And then, you know, then you have to come to terms with, like, okay, you know, yeah, it is your deal. And what are you going to do about it? And if it starts with you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I'm a pretty, like, quick person. And I get a little impatient when people are telling me as I'm sitting here telling you a long story, people that tell a long story or don't get to it, or, you know, like, they haven't thought about what they want to say, and they're just like meandering. And I've been like, okay. And I have decided, I'm like, you know what? That's my issue. That's not their issue. And I'm going to make the practice of, this is my time to be a better person. And if I need to sit and sort of meditate in my head while they're meandering, that's what I'm going to do, because that's a kinder thing to do than tell this person to, like, okay, I got it. And cut them off and just, you know, start looking around or pick up my phone or whatever, because I've lost my patience.
Okay.
So I just, you know, I think that there are little internal things that we can do ourselves to kind of help slow down these thoughts and these processes and these reactions that we have. And we all know, take a beat. But man, it is hard to take a beat in that moment.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So courage is part of the key. And patience is the other part of the key.
For me, patience is big. And I think courage for everyone, because we just, I mean, you know, we've talked about it 100 times, but being vulnerable is the most exposing thing that you can do. And when we're younger, all we care about is who's looking at us, what they're saying, what they're thinking, how they're reacting to us. And then you get a little bit older and you continue as the, you know, years go by to care less, I think. And unfortunately, you know, what do they say? Like, wisdom is wasted on the elderly and the youth who like are stupid. And like, if we could start then kind of understand, like them understanding, like, you don't know everything. It's okay. And evolve from there. But it's unfortunately until we get older that we're like, okay, wait, this is me. And this is my thing to figure out. And it's okay being wrong, or, you know, being open about what stuff that I'm facing. And that's why I have so much respect for some of these guests that come in here and they lay it out. And, you know, some of them that come in, I know a little bit of their story, and they come in here. I have so much admiration for their bravery. And, you know, and then I go out in the community and people talk to me about, oh, I can't, you know, that person was so great and I can't believe they said that. And I have a whole new appreciation for them and respect. And, you know, I had no idea that that was the trauma that they were suffering, because a lot of times I think people want to judge quickly and judge harshly.
Sure.
And they shouldn't.
Well, and most people, I don't think, talk about the things that are important to them.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people have the courage to really admit that they feel vulnerable and that they're lonely, or that they wish that they were closer to the people around them.
Oh, yeah. Because that's real, like, you are laying it out there.
I think it's important.
I agree. But I think we're also, for the most part, brought up to be like, I'm independent, I can do it, I don't need anyone. And that's not what the reality is. I think it's, you know, it's lovely to depend on people. It's lovely to have people depend on you. And, you know, it's like, I think about like me and my kids, like I love that we're connected in that way and have been for, you know, 16, 17 years.
Uh-huh.
That's like the most beautiful thing ever.
Sure.
And it's like, why can't we do that easily with others also?
Because then we would have to tell them that we don't want to live without them.
Yes.
And that we really need them. But I will tell you that I feel like it's relatively easy for me to do that, because what I've seen more than anything is that there's no such thing as being independent.
Right.
That it's a false way of describing yourself. People take pride in being independent.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, being independent means that you're completely dependent on creating a false feeling of independence. I know that may be hard to understand the way I described it, but your life revolves around proving to yourself that you're not dependent.
Yes. Yeah.
Which means you're ultimately incredibly dependent on proving that to yourself.
Yes.
And it affects all your relationships with everyone and everything around you. Plus, human nature lives in all of us. And humans are, even though, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about being predators in the way that we fight wars and, you know, deal with each other, but inherently we're prey. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have claws and you don't have fangs. And so being dependent is the only way to survive.
Right.
But we've lost the connection to that as humans a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like all we do is find ways to be different and afraid of the difference rather than recognizing that, you know, if you put two people in the Arab world together, you can't tell which who's Jewish and who's, you know, a Muslim, except for the way they dress.
Yeah.
But, you know, pretty much look like people that live in the desert.
Yeah.
Or at least sort of, not everywhere. And I think that I've worked really hard to try to convince people that the safest way to live is by acknowledging how dependent you are on the people that you love, and that the idea is to choose carefully as opposed to trying to avoid
it. That's there is that.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if you can't depend on the people that you're dependent on because they're not dependable,
right,
then that's the problem, not being dependent.
Right. And when it works, like, I mean, there is, like, tell me who's happier, someone who says they're independent or someone who says they need someone and they have loving, healthy, connected relationships. I mean.
Well, yeah, I think you're right about that. And I think that people try to convince themselves that being independent is healthy and a source of strength.
Right.
I know that my dad was like that. I mean, his notions of reality were you're either a perpetrator or a victim and you got to decide which one.
Mm.
Tell me that's not like the most fucked up thing like you've ever heard in your life.
Victim?
That those are the only two choices.
And those were the words.
And that's it. He used to say that you're, this was his, you're either the chicken or the chicken feed. That's what he would say.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I heard that almost every day of my childhood when I was old enough to understand who was talking. And I used to look at him and think to myself, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm not a chicken and I'm not chicken feed either one.
Yeah.
I don't want to live my life that way.
No.
Because when I'm nice to people, they're nice to me in return.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that fit with your theory of, you know, either being a victim or a perpetrator? How does that work?
Yeah.
But I know that his reality was that, and that's the way he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up being victimized.
Right.
And so I'm sure he made a vow by the time he was, well, responsible for his family, which was 14, that he was never going to let anybody get something up on him for the rest of his life.
I mean, we see where these, you know, habits and positions come from, for sure. I mean, they start out at an early age.
Yeah.
And I just hope that because there's so much more awareness around, you know, mental health and people being able to express their feelings more, especially, you know, young boys.
I hope it's happening.
I really feel like it is. I mean, for good or bad, mostly bad, it's kind of annoying, but you see, you know, these people go on TikTok and social media and bawl and cry and talk about whatever they're upset about.
Is that true?
Oh, Dina, yes.
I'm still apparently in the
bubble.
And,
you know, it'll be, yeah, I mean,
why would somebody do that on a social media?
Well,
platform?
I mean, good and bad. Maybe they need a little attention, right? But B, at least they're sharing that. Let's look at the positive. Find the positive. At least they're like normalizing, you know, being scared or depending on a doctor or, you know, being upset that they didn't make a team or whatever. So, I mean, I could never do it because I'm old, but it happens a lot. And I, you know, maybe the silver lining is that people will be a little bit more dependent and vulnerable and open. And, you know, with the Me Too movement and everything else, like maybe we're moving in a new direction.
And then a war starts.
Yeah.
And we lose faith in all humanity.
Yep. Yep.
It doesn't take much to shake our faith.
It sure doesn't. Nope.
At least that's the way I feel.
I know.
I'm embarrassed at how polarized my feelings get under duress. I cannot retain my humanness most of the time.
Which is so unlike you.
I just can't help it. I don't know why I feel so threatened, but I do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in my DNA. Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about every Jewish holiday, it's all celebrating some other person that we got free from.
Right.
We got away from this Pharaoh and we got away from these people. And it's all about surviving people that tried to kill us or get rid of us or enslave us in some way.
Yeah.
It's kind of a ridiculous thing to have all your holidays based on, or most of them anyway, based on that.
It's unfortunate, but
yeah,
at least you're celebrating something.
Something. You know? Yeah.
But I think, this is a whole nother topic, but I think that Jewish people can understand that because they've lived it. Their parents have lived it. Their grandparents have lived it. They've really been involved in the faith, but a non-Jewish person probably doesn't understand it as much because it hasn't been part of their DNA or, you know, their life.
Right.
Where,
Have you ever been the object of racism or, sort of any of that kind of feeling?
Maybe a little sexism, but yeah. Nothing terrible.
No?
No. No. I mean, it's a funny story. When I was in high school, I worked at a drive-in movie theater, and my boss was like this, I think I was probably 14 and he was probably 18, and he wouldn't let me off to go to prom, and I was really upset. And then he was just like, you know, I don't know. He told me something that like I would never amount to anything anyway because I was a woman and, you know, whatever I was going to do. And literally, this is the guy who was the manager of these little 14-year-olds at the movie theater. And even in my 14-year-old mind, I knew, like, you're an idiot. You're my manager, and this is your career for life, and you're telling me that I'm never going to amount to anything? So, just little things, you know, little things like that. And, you know, I worked in a pretty male-dominated world. Never anything bad.
No?
No. No.
You're quite fortunate in that regard.
I really am. Yeah, I was just, you know, white and broke, but...
White and broke.
Yes. But other than that, no, I was pretty lucky.
So do you have any topics that that you would like to for us to entertain on the podcast?
I personally really like bringing our guests on. I think that the stories that people have are so remarkable, and I think that people can learn from them, people can resonate with them, and I don't have anything in particular that I've given some thought to, but I'd like to continue bringing guests in and talking about not necessarily their trauma, but you know what they've done to overcome things. I'd like to you know, psychology sort of combined with maybe a little give them hope scenarios where, you know, people have overcome a lot and you don't really know it. And I think that that maybe especially today, if, you know, the world is the way it is, we could use some inspiring stories. And but that also just resonates with me personally. Like, I love to hear a good story of how someone has done well.
Okay. Not necessarily topics, but more interviews with people that you think might be interesting.
I think so.
And now you're getting all choked up?
You told me I was a highly sensitive person.
So you haven't gotten over that yet?
I still am. I just think that we live in a great community with some really interesting people out there that we could continue to bring in.
I'm not sure what else there is to say other than I'm incredibly grateful to you and everyone that's participated in making the Fear Me Out podcast get to 100 episodes. And I'm hoping we'll have the same conversation when it gets to 200.
I know. I can't believe it.
Which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank everybody again for supporting me and us and what I'm doing. We'll see what happens from here. So yeah. I really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And we'll go from here.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
We appreciate our listeners and are interested in your comments and suggestions. Feel free to email us at fearmeoutpodcast@gmail.com. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor for this podcast, please email us at fearmeoutpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. See you next time.